"I reckon," said Thatcher, voicing the unspoken views of nearly all of them, "we owes it to the community."
"Well," said Jason, "me mum said..."
"Anyway, your mum's a fine one to talk," said Weaver. "My dad said that when he was young, your mum hardly ever had."
"Oh, all right," said Jason, clearly outnumbered. "Can't see it can do any harm. We're only acting. It's make-believe. It's not as if it's anything real. But no one's to do any dancing. Especially, and I want everyone to be absolutely definite about this, the stick and bucket dance."
"Oh, we'll be acting all right," said Weaver, "and keeping watch as well, of course."
"It's our duty to the community," said Thatcher again.
"Make-believe is bound to be all right," said Jason, uncertainly.
Clang, boing, clang, ding. The sound echoed around Lancre. Grown men, digging in their gardens, flung down their spades and hurried for the safety of their cottages. Clang, boing, going, ding. Women appeared in doorways and yelled desperately for their children to come in at once. Bang, bugger it. Dong, boing. Shutters thundered shut. Some men, watched by their frightened families, poured water on the fire and tried to stuff sacks up the chimney. Nanny Ogg lived alone because she said old people needed their pride and independence. Besides, Jason lived on one side, and he or his wife, what's her name, could easily be roused by means of a boot applied heavily to the wall. And Sean lived on the other side, and Nanny had got him to fix up a long length of string with some tin cans on it in case his presence was required. But this was only for emergencies, such as when she wanted a cup of tea, or felt bored. Bong, drat, clang. Nanny Ogg had no bathroom, but she did have a tin bath, which normally hung on a nail on the back of the privy. Now she was dragging it indoors. It was almost up the garden, after being bounced off various trees, walls and garden gnomes on the way. Three large black kettles steamed by her fireside. Beside them were half a dozen towels, the loofah, the pumice stone, the soap for when the first soap got lost, the ladle for fishing spiders out, the waterlogged rubber duck with the prolapsed squeaker, the bunion chisel, the big scrubbing brush, the small scrubbing brush on a stick for difficult crevices, the banjo, the thing with the pipes and spigots that no one ever really knew the purpose of, and a bottle of Clatchian Knight's bath essence, one drop of which could crinkle paint. Bong, clang, slam. Everyone in Lancre had learned to recognise Nanny's pre-ablutive activities out of self-defence. "It ain't April," neighbours told themselves as they drew the curtains. In the house just up the hill from Nanny Ogg's cottage, Mrs. Skindle grabbed her husband's arm.
"The goat's still outside. Are you mad? I ain't going out there. Not now. You know what happened last time? It was paralysed all down one side for 3 days, man, and we couldn't get it down off the roof."
Mr. Skindle poked his head out of the door. It had all gone quiet. Too quiet.
"She's probably pouring the water in," he said.
"You've got a minute or two," said his wife. "Go on, or we'll be drinking yoghurt for weeks."
Mr. Skindle took down a halter from behind the door and crept out to where his goat was tethered near the hedge. It, too, had learned to recognise the bath-time ritual and was rigid with apprehension. There was no point in trying to drag it. Eventually, he picked it up bodily. There was a distant but insistent sloshing noise and the bonging sound of a floating pumice stone bouncing on the side of a tin bath. Mr. Skindle started a run. Then there was the distant tinkle of a banjo being tuned. The world held its breath. Then it came, like a tornado sweeping across a prairie. Three flower pots outside the door cracked, one after the other. Shrapnel whizzed past Mr. Skindle's ear.
"Wizard staff has a knob on the end, knob on the end."
He threw the goat through the doorway and leapt after it. His wife was waiting and slammed the door shut behind him. The whole family, including the goat, got under the table. It wasn't that Nanny Ogg sang badly. It was just that she could hit notes which, when amplified by a tin bath half full of water, ceased to be a sound and became some sort of invasive presence. There had been plenty of singers whose high notes could smash a glass, but Nanny's high C could clean it. The Lancre Morris men sat glumly on the turf, passing an earthenware jug between them. It had not been a good rehearsal.
"Don't work, does it?" said Thatcher.
"'Th not funny. That I do know,' said Weaver. Can't..."